Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, folks, I got to tell you real quickly about my friends at National Christian Foundation. National Christian Foundation, you may be hearing their ads playing on the show right now, but that's what Charlene and I use for our charitable giving. We do the same thing that all of their other clients do. So basically, listen, here's the deal. Like some of y'all do like we do, you have certain charities you support, your church and whatever else, and there's multiple checks you got to write per month to make all that happen. Listen, here's the deal. We give one time to National Christian Foundation, and then we tell them where to send the checks. In the meantime, they are managing that money like a portfolio, and they just keep growing it, they take care of it, and they send it out as soon as we say so. And what happens, though, is they're also a 501c3, and they manage all this, they steward it with godly principles, and then at the end of the year, though, because you did one to them and then they sent it out, you've only got one document to file with your taxes. That is cool. That's very cool. And National Christian Foundation is, like I said, a national organization. But right here in Alabama, I know these folks personally, and I think the world of them. So check them out, ncfgiving.com/Alabama. That's ncfgiving.com/Alabama. There it is, National Christian Foundation. Well, Copper, hey, you know sweet Charlene. You've met her.
Yes.
Can you imagine Brother Jim calling her a hussy? I mean,
that's terrible.
That was just classic. And that was, by the way, that was one of his tame names. Yeah, he was quite a piece, but in violation of the peace.
Right. I've encountered a few guys like that. Never got name called myself, but yeah, it always is kind of depressing because you wish they would bring the love of Christ. And
you know, yeah, there's a whole lot more to the message than what they're missing out on.
Yeah.
But what kills me though is when I see people do that all the time in a variety of different capacities, like this guy from Black Lives Matter telling that new incoming mayor, you will do what we say or there will be bloodshed. Well, really? So you're going to look at the retired police captain who just did everything it took to get elected to mayor of the biggest city in the world, just about, and you're going to threaten him with bloodshed if he doesn't give you what he wants. They're used to intimidating their way to power, and it's just, it ain't good. It ain't the way it's supposed to be, and ain't going to happen. Hey, I got some clips up there on the board. I guess you see those. Oh, you've already got ready written. You're just like, It's Friday. Copper is on the money. I'm sitting here drinking a cup of Just Love Coffee. This show runs on three things: caffeine, chocolate, and conservatism. There it is. All right. So, Copper, I'll tell you what. Let's see if we got time for one of these before we go. Because here's the deal. Number one of the triple dipper today, I'm calling it tipping the scales. What happens when government or big media decides to go ahead and jump into a situation that was not theirs to jump into other than to report, or for that matter, as a public official, maybe it wasn't your place to comment. Now, I know the media always wants somebody from a public position to comment on things that's not their place. There's nothing wrong with an elected official going, well, that's a matter for the courts, not for me. And yet, they can't resist. They can't contain themselves, because sometimes they're so caught up in their knowing of things that they speak. And in fact, here's a classic example. I'll just do this first, Copper, instead of a clip. Here's a classic example. I'm going to take you back to 2009. I even printed it out. Article from the Hill. How many of y'all remember when Obama convened the beer summit? Do you remember that? The beer summit. Copper, you probably don't remember the beer summit, I guess, do you?
No.
Okay, well, I think most of the world's forgotten about it, but it was this flash in time. So here's the deal. There was a police sergeant in Cambridge, Massachusetts named Sergeant James Crowley. And he and his partner were called to the residence, what turned out to be the residence of a Harvard professor named Henry Louis Gates Jr. So Professor Gates, I don't know what the deal was. I don't know if somebody didn't believe a black man should be at that particular house or what, or if he had gotten locked out and was trying to get in. I can't remember what the deal was. All I know is the police were called and they were responding to a call, and they get there and they questioned Professor Gates. Professor Gates was incensed that he'd be questioned at his own house, and it got ugly, all right? And so Police Sergeant James Crowley was the guy who was stuck with being in the national media, the white officer who created a scandal with the black professor at his own home. And granted, there are racial inequities that occur, and I fully acknowledge that. This one, it turns out, was not one. His Sergeant James Crowley was with his partner, who was a black police officer himself. And in that particular case, it just became this national thing. All right, this national thing. And the fairly new president, first black man ever elected president, Obama, was asked about it in a press conference. He made the mistake of saying he thought that Sergeant Crowley had acted stupidly. He didn't know anything about it. He didn't know boo. He had no idea. It was not a place for him to inject. It was not something that he needed to add that commentary to, and it inflamed the whole situation. I mean, it became double a thing. And so, if you remember, Obama decided to try to cool things off, and he called both men, Professor Gates and Sergeant Crowley, asked if they'd come to the White House and have a beer. And so the press got hold of it and called it the Beer Summit. Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to have a beer summit if you keep your nose out of it, if you keep yourself in your lane, if you know your role. Well, sometimes the media and elected officials, they forget. They don't know their role, and they decide to label things or exacerbate things that didn't have to be. Well, I got some stuff right here in the news today. I mean, that was 2009 with the Beer Summit. People still haven't learned. We're going to talk about that as we get back. Tipping the Scales. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. And by the way, listen, if you find yourself driving outside of that overly broad range of our AM-FM capability at WVNN, it don't mean you're out. All you got to do is go to any smart device you've got, pick up the internet, go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. That's what I like to say. That's why we got listeners in multiple states, multiple. They're all over the place. And so we appreciate the fact that we've got a broad audience, and it's an honor. It is truly an honor. I've got a note right here. I'm looking at it right above my desk. It's an honor to have this platform. Well, listen, folks, thank you. A shout out to Chris and Madison. Appreciate you. Chris just sent me a reminder. I was trying to think of the details of that situation with the Beer Summit. And Chris just sent me, he said, he reminded me, and I believe this is correct. He said a neighbor that didn't know the professor had called the police because he thought he was trying to break in because the professor had apparently locked himself out of his own house. The police asked him for his ID, and he raised a stink because he didn't think he should have to be asked for his ID, even though the police weren't aware and they were answering a legitimate call. And he goes on to say, Chris says, I thought it was the neighbors being helpful. The whole thing could have been avoided just by laughing it off and showing the ID and going inside the house. But he didn't, and it became a national thing. Thank you, Chris. All right, so listen, go spend some time here on the concept of tipping the scales. What happens when government or big media jumps in and declares something that is not real? Or defines or convicts someone of something that they've got no business convicting them of? You've seen it time and time again. It's not just conservatives. Sometimes liberals get bashed too, but the reality is it is not the place. Report the facts, move on. Or if you're an elected official, how about this? Don't comment. Or for that matter, reserve your comments to such that you know your role. Well, even like CBS recently tweeted out that Kyle Rittenhouse, you may have seen Kyle Rittenhouse in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Kyle Rittenhouse is the kid who made the unfortunate decision, and by the way, it was wrong. He should not have gone there. He should not have taken an AR-15 rifle and gone down to a riot to be the man. He was 17 years old. I don't think there was any wisdom in him being down there that night, period. Do I think his intentions were good? They appear to be, but that's after me having watched the evidence in trial. I didn't know for the longest time, but I could see the buildings burning. I did know that the things he was going down there allegedly for were legit. But it's not my place to convict him or not convict him. But CBS doesn't always see it that way. Copper, you got clip four still ready? You good to go on that? Clip four is talking about this CBS tweet. Go ahead and play clip four.
delete a tweet. They said Kyle Rittenhouse testified in his murder trial yesterday, breaking down in tears as he told the jury he murdered two men at a Black Lives Matter protest last year in self-defense. It seems like the media not watching the same trial a lot of Americans are seeing with their own two eyes.
No, you know, Steve, they're really not. They're making comments as if he's already been convicted, as if he's a murderer, and they're completely discounting self-defense. What Sunny Hostin said is especially shocking because she's a former prosecutor, and she knows very well the difference between killing and murder. And she used that word deliberately multiple times as if it's a foregone conclusion. She's obviously not watching the trial. I'm watching the trial. There is an excellent case here for self-defense. So I don't know where she's coming from, but it's clear there's a political agenda.
Surely. You know, Joy Behar is a comedian. So
we'll stop it right there. We'll stop it right there. Think about what she just said. The woman who was on CBS is a former prosecutor. She knows that when you use the word murder, he's a murderer. You have just convicted him of a crime. That was not her place. They even tweeted it out, but apparently they had the hindsight to go ahead and remove the tweet. But I'm looking at an article right now. Where'd this one come from? This is also from Fox. This particular article is a recitation by Howie Kurtz, who does media review. And he points out, he said, keep in mind that many conservatives have defended Rittenhouse and many liberals have denounced him. So it's worth looking at what he calls National Review's synopsis of the past media coverage. He points out that MSNBC contributor Jason Johnson branded Rittenhouse the enemy. An MSNBC analyst, John Heilman, called him arguably a domestic terrorist. An ABC News article called Rittenhouse an alleged white supremacist. On Twitter, a Daily Beast writer lumped Rittenhouse in with, quote, armed militias, white power groups, Proud Boys, and Boogaloo extremists, while calling him a murderer. On the political front, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that Rittenhouse posting of bail was a sign of protection, quote, protection of white supremacy baked deep into our carceral systems. Whatever. All I'm saying here is these are people that got way out in front of the story and went way beyond the pale. And if they were the ones on trial, if they were the ones or their son was the one on trial, then I guarantee you it would be a different story. You know, Sean Hannity made some points on this. Hannity pointed out that not only that, but that President Biden, when he was running in 2020, so Hannity's staff went back and did some checking. In a 2020 presidential campaign video released by then-candidate Joe Biden, there was a montage of events, according to the story, that included things like the violent Charlottesville protests as well as an image of Rittenhouse, the kid who's on trial this week. And then superimposed over that was anchor Chris Wallace's voice talking about asking President Trump if he would disavow white supremacists and militia groups. So basically what they were doing was they were taking Kyle Rittenhouse's image with no indications that he was ever involved in white supremacy, ever, and the trial has shown that he was not ever, and blending it together to imply that this kid, who some of them are now calling him a murderer, and that he was somehow a white supremacist. That's the president of the United States. And then Hakeem Jeffries, who is a Democratic caucus chairman in Congress, he said the other day, lock up Kyle Rittenhouse and throw away the key. The kid's not been convicted yet. If he's convicted, sure, he's not been convicted. And what's happening right now, though, it appears that the trial is going well in his favor. Like, wow, this prosecutor is a knucklehead and is botching the whole thing. In fact, story on USA Today, Jonathan Turley, the title of it is Prosecutors Crash and Burn in Kyle Rittenhouse Case. But he says, but polarized America doesn't see it. And that's true. What's happened is people have come into this particular moment with their decisions already made. Now, I'm an attorney. All right, I practice law. I hate losing, and I rarely do, by the way. But not long ago, I had a case up on appeal, and it did not go my way. It happens. I know that I've got to be prepared for the fact that my client's position may be strong, but may not prevail. There have been times when I feel like I know I was right, and the judge still didn't see it my way. And I had to live within that means or appeal it, one or the other. And I have won on appeal, And one time now, I have not won on appeal. But I'm just going to tell you, there are times when you have to enter into things recognizing that two sides of the story have to be told before you're allowed to prejudge. And if you're going to tip the scales because you have the abusive power of your office or you have the big media behind you, what you're abusing your position. Now, other stories like this, we got some stuff happening. I mean, have you seen, talking about the same thread here, of tipping the scales, of going places you shouldn't go. Have you seen what's going on with Project Veritas? Now, Project Veritas gets under liberal skin. I get it. And I think every once in a while I see a Project Veritas, you know, expose or so-called expose, and I'm like, I don't see it. But they've had some amazing ones, too. Like when they caught the Planned Parenthood folks talking about selling baby parts. I mean, that was huge. But right now what's happening with Project Veritas is beyond the pale. Because allegedly, President Biden's daughter's diary was stolen in 2020. Has Project Veritas ever done a story on it? No. But the FBI just raided their offices the other day. Raided the house of James O'Keefe, the Project Veritas founder. Story right here, this one came from Fox. Apparently I got several Fox stories today. Federal judge orders the DOJ to halt data extraction from James O'Keefe's phones following FBI raid. Folks, let me tell you something. Copper clip two. Have you got, let's, I tell you what, I'm gonna skip clip two. Let me go back, Copper, to clip one. Can you get clip one? Let me know when you're ready for it. You ready? That's fast. Tucker Carlson and Harmy Dillon, who is the attorney for James O'Keefe, are talking about it. Go ahead and play clip one.
You know, what we have right now is a very disturbing situation of the U.S. Attorney's Office and or the FBI tipping off the New York Times to each of the raids on Project Veritas's current and former employees last week. We know that because minutes after these raids occurred, they got calls from the New York Times, which is the only journalism outlet that knew about it. And they published this hit piece today, which is really despicable. I don't think I've ever seen this low from the New York Times before to publish people's private legal communications. And by the way, what does it prove, New York Times? All it proves is that Project Veritas is an honest and thoughtful journalistic organization that sought legal advice before making various publications. That's what Fox News does. That's what the New York Times does. And that's what every major journalism outlet does. So I don't know what gotcha they think they were doing there other than they got themselves, because they criticized Project Veritas for its tactics, and yet they sink so low, Tucker.
We know for a fact the Biden administration leaks confidential information about its critics to news outlets. They did it to me personally, so I know for a fact that they do it.
Let me just jump in right there now. So think about this. Apparently, the New York Times ran some scandalous information about Project Veritas. Project Veritas filed suit against the New York Times. Soon thereafter, James O'Keefe woke up to an FBI raid at his home. They came to his house with a battering ram, and they literally raided his home, and immediately the information they were seizing from his house, including things that are not supposed to be revealed, like attorney-client conversations, donors to Project Veritas, all of these things that are considered are being published by the New York Times, who was calling him for comment immediately after the raid. How did they know? How did this happen? James O'Keefe says in the article I'm looking at on Fox, I woke up to a pre-dawn raid banging on my door. I went to my door to answer it, and there were 10 FBI agents with a battering ram, white blinding lights. They turned me around, handcuffed me, and threw me against the hallway. I was partially clothed out there in front of my neighbors. They confiscated my phone. They raided my apartment. And on my phone were many of my reporter's notes, a lot of my sources unrelated to this story, and a lot of other confidential donor information for our news organization. He said he was in a bit of a state of shock. FBI agents spent over 2 hours searching his apartment, and they took two of his iPhones. And now the judge has had to intervene to tell them they did not have the authority to begin downloading yet from his phone. Now, this is bad, and that's called using the weight of office. It does not look good at all, and the FBI still can't justify why it felt this was necessary. All right, Copper, take us to that short break. We're going to come back, folks. I'm going to tell you, though, new stories are breaking today about that thing about, you know, the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice calling parents domestic terrorists. And wait till you hear what one school superintendent was doing about protesting parents out in Arizona. This is going to blow your mind. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, real quick, my friends at ZLA Solutions, I got to tell you, they are one of the best right now at putting people back to work. Check them out, if you will. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Maybe you're looking for a job. Well, they've got them. They've got them posted all over North Alabama. Good paying jobs, a lot of them with benefits. ZLAUSA.com. Go check it out. But if you're an employer and you're looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, well, you need people, right? Well, that's what they do. They can recruit. They can do the drug testing, the background checks, all of it. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. ZLA Solutions. You can find them at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLAUSA.com. So, Copper, you heard that Project Veritas thing I was talking about a minute ago. What do you think about that?
It's scary.
It is. It is scary. I mean, sorry, are you familiar with Project Veritas and the things they've done?
Yeah, I like their videos.
I mean, they come up with some stuff, right? Yeah. So basically, they make people angry. And, right, you know, and next thing you know, bada bing, the FBI shows up at his house claiming that they've got a search warrant, and we don't even yet really know what for, but everybody believes it's got something to do with Joe Biden's daughter's diary being stolen last year. Yeah, I don't get it.
Well,
it,
I mean,
go ahead.
Back with the election and with the Russia thing over Trump, it just seems scary seeing how much the FBI seems to be on the side of the left. How did that happen?
I don't know, and I do believe that by and large the rank and file are solid individuals, but something's going on with leadership. I mean, it just feels that way, you know. But before I finish out this segment, though, let me jump on this because this is going to blow your mind too, Copper. So new stories coming out today. If you remember a few weeks back, we had that situation where the Loudoun County, Virginia parents were shocked to find that they, among others who stood up to school boards, were being branded as potential domestic terrorists by the National Association of School Boards, or National Society of School Boards. So anyway, the NSBA. So the National School Board Association, that's it. The National School Board Association wrote a letter to President Biden, and next thing you know, suddenly the Department of Justice, the Attorney General's Office, Merrick Garland, come out, and they're going to start looking into this, and it basically feels like they're weaponizing, or at the very least attempting to intimidate by means of threatening investigatory action by the Department of Justice. Well, you know, there was big denials. If you remember, Attorney General Merrick Garland, he was in the presence of Congress and said, no, that memo had nothing to do with what we did. Well, breaking news today, a FOIA request has revealed that the National School Board Association had been engaging with the White House for weeks prior to it, that it was basically after meetings with the White House that they wrote their memo. Another email that exclusively went to Fox News revealed that the NSBA had discussed the issues with the White House, like I said, for weeks before they sent the letter. It all appears to have been quite collaboratively done. That is an awful situation, and it's going to be, I hope they're going to find out more about this in the days to come. But what it does appear is that there was a weaponization to intimidate parents who were speaking out. Well, guess what we just found out at a more localized level? Story today, also on Fox. Apparently, I am just replete with Fox stories. But the Fox News is reporting today, Arizona school board president kept sensitive personal information on protesting parents. More than 600 parents in Scottsdale, Arizona, are demanding the resignation of the school board president after a shocking revelation. The president, or possibly his father, because they both had access to this dossier file, this electronic dossier file, kept their dossiers on 47 parents who dared to speak out against his policies. The dossier was complete with things like social security numbers, background checks, divorce papers, mortgage documents, trade certifications, and screenshots of Facebook posts. Parents are saying this was retaliation, that it was intimidation, and demanding his resignation. And, I mean, this is just... So, folks, what I'm saying is, you don't like what's happening. You cannot abuse the position of your spot in the media. You cannot label someone something that they are not. You cannot convict them when they have not been convicted. And you cannot abuse the power of your office to try and tip the scales. Can't happen. This is still America. Still America. All right, folks. That's it for that segment. Listen, coming up on the Triple Dipper, we're going to move straight into a phone call with my buddy Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty. Breaking news today. United Launch Alliance in Decatur has been sued for the manner in which they have treated their employees with regards to vaccine mandates. We'll take that with Matt here in a minute because he's one of the ones that filed the suit. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.